May my words and our thoughts be in the name of the living God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Today is the 10th anniversary of my installation, and I stood in this pulpit and preached on the first letter of Peter, on the church, that is you, the church, as living stones. I was probably the only person in the cathedral who never actually bought a brick for this cathedral, so it was a rather silly thing of me to do, really. But you were and are the living stones. Today, because it happens to be St. Andrew's Day, we have the theme of mission. Mission means going out. Well, Hilary and I are going out in one way, but we're all going out every day from Christ, bearing Christ. Christians are those who have a mission to go out with the word of Christ and his costly, compassionate love to all the world. The day after my installation those years ago, I went to Eltham Heath, now a wonderful new ecumenical church, then a much smaller congregation, still ecumenical, but meeting in a community hall. But a church in mission mode. I am glad to go out on a note of mission. But first, some valedictory reflection. Regularly in these last 9 years, I've looked at, in addition, of course, to reading the scriptures, I've looked at three particular documents. Gregory the Great's pastoral care ought to be perennial retreat material for any bishop. And if I've been of any pastoral use to any of you, I owe it to that inspiration. But also more directly relevant to Guildford, church documents, the statement of needs produced by the Vacancy in See Committee of this diocese in 2003. And some of you will have contributed to that statement of needs as you are contributing to the one for my successor. The other document, the corresponding joint memorandum, very civil service term, joint memorandum of the Crown Appointments Secretary and the Archbishop's Appointments Secretary of the same year. I will resist the temptation to do some kind of self-assessment, you know, a tick or two here, a question mark there. I won't do any self-assessment of my episcopate against those two documents. I would, in any case, mark myself down because of my notorious humility. But I can't, of course, resist one reference. There was a certain feeling then of the need for consolidation after the dynamic ministry of my predecessor, Bishop John. I see John from time to time. I heard one or two clergy say quietly, could we, Bishop, please have an episcopal initiative only on every other day of the week? So I thought about that. And I went about stealing your local initiatives, stealing your local ideas, and claiming them for the whole diocese. The canonization of local initiatives is exemplified in our common purpose as a diocese: spiritual maturity, growing in numbers, and community engagement. In one of my Guildford documents, this desire for consolidation was put rather more vividly, or in liquid terms. Someone said, and I think I know who it probably was, though it was anonymized in the secretary's report, wanting to move on from the sparkling wine of the previous episcopate to mature claret in the next. You apparently wanted to move on from Champers to Chateau Lafitte. Perhaps the Vacancy in See Committee now will look for an episcopate like crusted port. But to bring me down to earth, I was given a bottle this morning. It isn't of wine, and you won't be able to read the label, except if you're very much on the front row. It's Bishop's Farewell. Be that as it may, I want to offer you three snapshots, three pictures of why I'm in deep thankfulness to God for the opportunity to minister among you as bishop these last 9 years. Here are my three, if not champagne moments, three claret moments, or perhaps three bishop's farewell moments. The first takes me back to a priest who died of cancer, a relatively young woman priest. She wrote poetry, including poetry about her own terminal illness. She was inspired by the writings of St. John of the Cross in his dialogue, even argument, with God. As John of the Cross experienced what he called the dark night of the soul. And many human beings experience that. His and hers was a true wrestling with Jacob. And the Anglican poets George Herbert, T.S. Eliot, and R.S. Thomas do the same. She was aware of their poetry too. I also think of the deaths of other clergy more recently, including a bishop, you'll know who I'm referring to, and another woman priest more recently, who faced death by very carefully, precisely arranging all the ceremonial details of her funeral. And didn't we have to follow them? In all these pastoral moments, mortality was faced. Argument with God, sometimes through the words of the Psalms, embraced. And in all that, in those solemn moments close to death, I was graced. All the clergy here present today will know how humbling it is to be ministered to by those we think we are ministering to. But it is so. You know the text from Paul to the Corinthians, on my pectoral cross. We preach Christ crucified, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God, for the foolishness of God is wiser than humankind, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. It is when we are weakest that we are most open to the depths and riches of God in Christ. To be spiritually mature is to be plucked like the grapes of a good claret, plucked to be crushed and left to be fermented by God's grace, and so matured. Hilary and I have received a moving number of farewell cards, some even from my previous Episcopal ministry in Staffordshire. But I have to say my most treasured card, and you'll understand why I've chosen this one, is from the women in Send Prison. They sent this card to me, to Hilary as well, after my final baptism and confirmation in this diocese, there in Send Prison, just 3 weeks ago, a baptism and a confirmation. The card was made in the prison workshops and is covered in their personal farewells. They know what it is to be at the bottom and so most open to the crucified Christ. When we empty ourselves or find ourselves emptied, as Paul teaches in Philippians, we are most open to maturity of spirit and the grace of Christ. My second claret moment snapshot comes from a number of conversations I've had with many of you over the years of my ministry here, but focused for me more recently in the talks we've had together as Hilary and I have prayer walked as pilgrims across and crisscrossing the diocese. Fleet to Woking, Thorpe to Purford, Banstead to Ruxley, Burpham to Haslemere, Farnham to Waverley, Cobham to Great Bookham, and Dorking to St. Martha's here in Guildford. About 85 miles of walking. Pilgrims walk and gossip the faith. I heard many, many stories of your faith. One of a man who wanted to learn more about the faith and to explore Christianity. He saw an Alpha course advertised, but on inquiry, he learnt that it would mean a meeting once a week and certainly an away weekend. And the course lasted for 3 months. This is a particularly sorry story. He couldn't spare the time. He was too busy. Only next year, he made the time and came to faith, and he told me his story and thanked me for confirming him. Today, St. Andrew's Tide readings from Romans quotes Isaiah and also the psalm we sang on the beauty of the feet of those who bring good news. Well, I can tell you, my feet, and I think Hilary's too, ached after our first 10 miles of prayer walk, and they didn't look too beautiful. But whatever our feet look like, we catch the meaning of Isaiah and Paul. Growing the church in numbers means having such beautiful feet and gossiping the gospel. Every time I baptized and confirmed, whether in the Guildford Lido or other churches, sometimes with immersion baptism, or equally moving here at All Saints Tide and especially at the Easter Vigil here in the cathedral, or in all your churches, such confirmations with baptism usually have been deeply moving for me to baptize in the name of the triune God, the strong name of the Trinity, and to invoke the personal sevenfold gifts of the Holy Spirit in confirmation, as children, men and women of all ages, shapes and sizes make their profession of faith and grow the church. Again, the Episcopal minister and Bishop Ian and Bishop Michael will echo this, I know. Again, the Episcopal minister is the one also ministered to. The gracing is mutual. And on our many walks, many people came up to me and said simply, "You confirm me, Bishop," whatever it was, "I shan't forget it." Or sometimes, "Bishop so-and-so confirmed me 30 years ago, and I was now being thanked for my predecessor, but three." That's a wonderful grace in episcopal succession. My third claret moment is in a school on the edge of Greater London, but still just in this diocese, not too far from the Kingston bypass. A school breakfast club, supported by the Bishop of Guildford's Foundation, which is itself now flourishing in partnership with the Community Foundation for Surrey. In the breakfast club, a little boy, half asleep, pretty pale, sent off to school after watching late night television the night before, and every night before, sent to school without breakfast. So the breakfast club. A quiet, sleepy chat with a little boy. 2 hours later, at break, I met him again, a lively, bright lad, now enjoying school, rejuvenated by a real meal. Remember, there are hidden parts of our diocese. At the other end of the diocese in northeast Hampshire, I met those in a housing and work project for young people who have to move away from or have been taken out of their family for whatever reasons. But you can meet such young people just down the road, just down the hill here at the YMCA in Guildford, or in Woking, or in all our boroughs. And all over our diocese and communities, there are groups, usually ecumenical, serving their local communities in a variety of ways. For example, the street angels, the street pastors groups I've gone out with till the early morning, till the early hours. Or food banks. Now, a large number of food banks in this diocese in probably the most affluent part of England. The examples of community outreach, now happily often in partnership with local authorities, are legion. And I thank God for that. And again, I am graced by it. In all this, just three snapshots, but in all this and many more snapshots I could have bored you with, in all this I've been supported in so many ways by the diocesan teams. I name Bishop Ian, who will carry the baton on during the vacancy, and also Archdeacon Stuart, and of course Julian in the recent past, soon to be joined by Paul Breyer. If I were to list by name all the diocesan administrative, education, ministry and ministry teams, all the different teams in the diocese and the cathedral, and those on Bishop's Council, and those in the diocesan synod and your deanery synods, we should be here all morning. And of course, I would accidentally miss someone out and offend. So I will not give you a list of names. But I must name Hilary. For her generous hospitality and domestic efficiency, without which I couldn't cope, and for loving me in spite of myself. And I must thank also all the clergy and laity of this good Diocese of Guildford, and thank the wider communities of Surrey and North East Hampshire, including those of other faiths as well as the other churches, and amongst the other faiths, most particularly the Jewish and Muslim especially, but also those of no faith at all, but who have goodwill. And I've met those as well here, and respect them, and in them recognized the anonymous love of God, which one day I would hope they would be able to name. Ubi caritas et amor, Deus ibi est, where charity and love are, there is God, as we shall hear sung by the choir later. So I thank all of you as living stones, the living stones I first spoke of when I came here first. And I thank you for having graced me by your ministry and examples. Which brings me almost to the end. At the conclusion of this service, Archdeacon Stuart will read a short dismissal reading, a kind of extra lesson. The sentiments come from Hilary and myself, through the words of St. Paul to the Philippians. So when you hear them later on, they are from us. I thank my God every time I remember you, because of your sharing in the gospel from the first day until now. I want you to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the sharing of his sufferings by becoming like him in his death, if somehow I may attain the resurrection from the dead. Not that I've already reached the goal, but I press on to make it my own. I press on towards the goal for the heavenly call of God in Christ Jesus. I know only too well I've not obtained the goal. But we all press on together, all of us, as pilgrims along the way. And I thank God for you all, and that he's given me the grace to attempt to do what I aspired to in my inaugural sermon in this holy place those years ago. I quoted St. Augustine, "For you, I am a bishop. With you, I am a Christian." If I have been of any use to you as either a bishop or a Christian, thank God in this Eucharistic thanksgiving as Hilary and I continue our pilgrimage and our striving for the goal. No longer after this service as your bishop, but still journeying on as a Christian with you to the next stage of our common pilgrimage. In the strong name of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen.